All right, good morning. Today is 28 July 2014. I am Major Randolph Scott Harrison, and I am conducting a telephonic interview with Commander Ron Perry. He is the current IPAP Program Director and the 7th IPAP Program Director at this time. The interview is taking place in Johns Creek, Georgia. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Happy to be here.
All right, sir. Sir, if you could start off with some background information, I'd like to ask you briefly about your formative years.
Okay. Well, without going into too much detail and boring you, I was born in Fresno, California, but got to Texas as quick as I could. Spent the majority of my life growing up in San Antonio, New Braunfels area. Joined the Navy in 1986 and went off to basic training January 87. Served as a hospital corpsman for 4 years active, then 2 years active reserve while I worked on my PA school prerequisites at Galveston College. Came in under the Health Service Collegiate Program Scholarship in 1993 at UTMB Galveston PA program, commissioned in 1995, and have served as a Navy PA since that time.
Go ahead, sir. You're doing great.
Currently married to my wife, Lori Perry, of 25 years, and we have two children, both in school, one daughter, age 14, and son, age 10. And we live just outside New Braunfels, Texas, near Canyon Lake.
All right, sir. So what made you look at the PA profession?
Having served back in, 1987 at my first duty station in the Navy after hospital corpsman school, I was Naval Hospital Long Beach, and I was working in surgery clinic, among other areas, and rubbed elbows with the orthopedic PA who worked in the clinic next door, and actually saw him as a patient for a back injury, as well as worked with him as far as, you know, questions I had for some patients when my surgeon would be in the OR and I needed somebody to reach out to. And was very, very impressed with the level of knowledge and expertise that this man possessed, and went on to ask, you know, what it is that he did and how he got his training, and that's the person and the time interests me in the PA profession.
All right.
So that's when I made up my mind, went home, told my wife all excited, and she's like, yeah, right, you have no college background and made C's in high school, ain't going to happen. So that was humbling, so yeah. Had to roll up my sleeves and, you know, get myself focused.
Wow.
Yeah, I have no military in my family history, no medical background in the family history, came from a broken family, wrong side of the tracks, and so it didn't have the academic nor the economic backgrounds. But I tell you, I was determined not to look back. And once I found out about this profession and where it could take me, I was like, okay, I'm on this. This is going to be good.
Well, sounds like you're blessed there.
I am blessed. I figured it out at a young enough age before it was too late.
So, sir, I've talked to almost every program director at this point, and the lead question that I've asked each one of them is the same. What is unique about the characteristics of the IPAP that makes it different from the other PA programs? Obviously, you graduated from a different PA program, and you've come back here, and now you're the program director of the IPAP.
Yes. I think what makes us unique, there's a lot of things, but I think one of the biggest is that this program, this training pipeline, if you will produce leaders. We produce PAs, obviously, but we produce leaders. We produce leaders of the new Defense Health Agency. We produce folks who are going to go on to lead the effort as far as training medics, hospital technicians, and corpsmen out in the field or in the MTFs, leaders who will lead on the ships, out in the air wing, out in the field, lead a battalion aid stations, lead in clinics, lead sick call. So, you know, the leadership aspect is something unique compared to contrasted to civilian PA program. Its role, as I understand it, is to produce competent, compassionate PAs. Well, that's great. That's what the public needs when they're sick and injured. We do that and so much more. So perhaps I'm biased in my assessment, but again, I've seen it firsthand. I participated in it for 5 years. Now I'm back as the director. That is, in essence, what I see as a difference.
Okay, sir. Sir, can you tell me a little bit more as far as the IPAP and some of its, you know, you're saying you participated in it, you've seen some of the, obviously, products of it, working with your colleagues in the Navy, and then, you know, your experience of the fact that you were coming up from a different school. So having all three of those perspectives, mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the issues of the day that the IPAP is able to overcome or to excel in?
Well, I think what makes us unique is that our faculty and staff are so very diverse. Male, female, majority, minority, junior officer, mid-grade, senior officer, and then, of course, wearing the cloth of our nation, however, comma, in four different varieties, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. Having this diversity does present challenges in that I am a Navy commander and I have the authority and responsibility to run this program, whereas it's not just Navy faculty, staff, and students. Again, we have the diversity. So that can present challenges in that we have different cultures, different historical backgrounds and bias, and different parochialisms depending on our service affiliation. However, we, as a faculty and staff, must put that aside in the entrance of the program. And we need to be dedicated, committed, and loyal to the program needs. We need to do what's best and what's academically sound for our students, again, no matter what cloth they wear, because ultimately the end game, the end result, is they have to go out and provide that competent, compassionate medical care that we expect of our graduates. So, you know, diversity is a challenge, but it's also a blessing here because we leverage best practices from our Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard PAs and physicians who are here to augment the faculty and staff. So, you know, it's a challenge from my leadership perspective, but it's also a blessing.
Sir, so you've been in the role as program director for just over a year now, is that correct?
Yes, since 1 July.
So you've got a couple things that are out there that you've already tried to accomplish.
We
talked about. What do you see, like, your goals for the next, because it's a four-year assignment, correct, sir?
Correct.
So you got 1 year under your belt, you got three more years in front of you. What are your goals that you want to see the program move towards?
You know what? It's a very simple question, and I wish I had a simple answer. I've been accused over the last 12 months of trying to do too much, too soon. I am trying to redo the Phase 1 curriculum, which is 2,640 hours of didactic education for the PA students, and bring it up to date. Incorporating best practices, educational technology, and simulation software, and expanding upon the use of training aids such as Harvey Mannequin, Trauma Mannequin, things of that nature. So that's one thing. Okay. Another thing is to revise where necessary, the Phase 2 clinical experience, which occurs at one of 22 military training facilities. So those are two areas, and of course, those both will lead to revision and hopefully reapproval of the Phase 1 and Phase 2 POI. I've taken the program through a massive curriculum review under ITRO, Inter-Service Training Review Organization. I have received concurrence from all four services. I have also taken us through a resource requirements analysis, and all four services have concurred as of last Thursday. So I'm happy to report that we're making significant progress with our curriculum and resourcing, and that will be at least for the next 3 to 4 years. So we're looking solid there. Ongoing self-assessment and analysis, new student database are all things that we're working on over the past year and into next year, not so much only for reaccreditation, continuing accreditation, but also the day-to-day and then retrospective analysis. You know, how does this course correlate with this rotation? How does it correlate with pant success and clinical success? These are all things that we need to improve upon, and we are. Other things, you know, faculty development is something that, in my opinion, has kind of fallen by the wayside. Faculty recognition and awards, these are things that are very important to me. Securing an ongoing budget that is healthy and robust enough to meet mission and vision, strategic goals, and program overview. That is something that fell by the wayside during the federal sequester. The grad school dean and the AHS dean have been very supportive in that. I have told them these are my lines in the sand, these are the things that we must do. And that includes bringing back a live tissue lab, that includes bringing back the reproductive training assistant labs, the phase two site accreditation inspections, the phase two symposium, the faculty development, and ideally, CME conference for my faculty. Other things, other concerns are accountability. Again, I spoke to that earlier about me being a Navy program director, and we have four different services here. What makes us unique, and I don't know if I want this in the article, but I'll just share with you.
Okay.
What makes us unique here is that we have divided loyalty. So we have four different services owned by four different component commanders. So the Army folks, yeah, they'll listen to me, but they also have to do what the battalion commander and company commander need of them.
Right.
And so there's divided loyalties, and extrapolate that out towards the other three services, you can begin to see what I deal with here on a day-to-day. Teamwork and trust are paramount. Those are things that we're working on rebuilding here. Teamwork, the old joke used to be when I was here my first 5 years, I'm an IPAP of one, and, you know, that's not sustainable. So establishing a climate of trustworthiness and teamwork and, you know, it's okay to ask for help. In fact, we encourage it, all of these kind of things. While some will accuse me of being hokey, they are so essential, so essential. So, you know, there's a lot of things on my mind. Where are we now? We're in a great place. We have an outstanding program. We're the world's largest, in my opinion, the best. You know, of course, I'm biased. One other issue that I have is people rest on their laurels sometimes, and if I hear the phrase, don't worry, Commander Perry, don't push so hard, we don't have to be perfect, we don't have to change this or that, because we were ranked number 13th in the nation in U.S. News World Report in 2011, so therefore we're good enough. That is unacceptable, and when I hear that from faculty, staff, VIP visitors, the dean or other people I'm asking for continued program support or money, or if I hear that from anyone else, it upsets me greatly because we should never settle. We should never settle until we're number one, and even then we should never settle. And to settle is doing a disservice to our stakeholders, services, the students, and ultimately the patients that they will take care of. So we will not settle on my watch. We will continue to strive for academic excellence in all that we do, or else we need to transfer and go elsewhere.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, thank you. It sounds like I can see what you're saying. That is a lot to have on your plate and a very ambitious way forward.
Well, I'm here because of the mission, vision, and the strategic goals that I put out, and I'll send those to you if you wish.
Yes, sir.
But it's at the core of what I do and why I'm here. The mission, you know, to provide uniformed services, highly competent, compassionate PAs who model integrity, strive for leadership excellence, and committed to lifelong learning. I try to embody that in all that I do. I have copies of this posted everywhere. I send these out in my emails as attachments. I want people to know it, live it, believe in it, of course. Strategic goals, 1 through 5, I put together back in June, the month before I took over as PD. I think if we're mindful of the mission, vision, strategic goals, and take care of each other, we're going to be great.
Okay. Sir, what would you say your lessons learned are from this past year?
This past year, lessons learned are to – You know what? I think lessons learned for me is to better share the vision with the faculty and staff. Sometimes I assume incorrectly that they understand why I'm pushing for a rewrite of a manual or why I'm pushing for a rewrite of a policy or a handbook or why I'm changing the SOP from this to that. You know, sometimes I guess with my impatience, you know, it's kind of like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do, and here's when I need it done, make it happen. As opposed to, okay, here's the background, here's the historical, here's some reasons why, here's some this, here's some that, you know. I guess I get impatient. But lessons learned, you know, I guess it comes down to better communications. And when Colonel Tozier was here as program director, I learned so much from him, but he relied a lot on email, and he would send a lot of emails out. And sometimes I'd catch him in the hallway. I'm like, this is when I was clinical coordinator and senior Navy rep. I'm like, sir, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about XYZ. He's like, oh, no. Go back. I have an email on that. Go read the email. I'm like, well, we're here face-to-face in the hallway. Oh, no. Go back and read the email. And I was like, son of a bitch. When I ever become PD, if I ever do, I am not going to rely on email. I'm going to get out, and I'm going to walk about, and I'm going to see people face-to-face. And I was great at that my first 3 or 4 months here, but now I find myself chained on my desk at my computer, and I have stuff all over the place, and sometimes I can't link up with my faculty because they're teaching, doing small groups in the clinic or what have you, so I find myself in that same email trap. And that's something I need to strive for improvement. Yeah, I guess you don't know until you're actually sitting in the hot seat.
Yes, sir. No, I can only imagine. I appreciate that.
Yeah. But my projects for this next year, I got to redo a Phase 2 manual. We got to develop and pull the trigger on our Phase 2 OSCEs, which are overdue. A new faculty development handbook, a new IPAP MOA with Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. Graduate surveys, got to get those back on track and do the analysis. We need a new student database online by November. I'm going to have a new IPAP marketing brochure by the end of this FY, and I'd ideally like to have a brand new, robust website by the end of the calendar year. All this, in, of course, is in addition to the day-to-day teaching and educating the students and prepping for an accreditation site visit next year.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Sir, one other question I wanted to ask you about, and because I'm looking at this from the, you know, obviously the historical standpoint, and
yes.
What's unique about this is that I find that it very interesting where you look at, we have a program that will accept kids in that, you know, typically would not be accepted in any other program.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Oh, you had to. Oh man, that's one of my hot buttons.
But I think that I love this. That, to me, this is my favorite part about what makes the IPAP the way it is.
So that does make us unique. Yeah.
We have them at this point. We graduate them with the bachelor's, then they get their master's as well in the program, and then that in of itself, I think, is awesome. But
it is awesome.
When you
it
look
is
at
very
the
awesome.
Performance across the board, and you look at the PANT scores, and you look at where they're at on the national average.
They average 3 percentage points above their civilian peers.
You're
right.
Sir. I've looked back at the numbers since 1998,
mm-hmm.
and it's been consistent.
Yep.
Like that. What do you attribute that success to?
I attribute that success, well, there's a lot of variables. One is, of course, as PD, I got to brag on my folks. So I attribute it to the Phase 1 faculty and staff and Phase 2 site clinical coordinators, medical directors, and clinical preceptors pulling together and making it happen day in and day out. Two, I attribute it to our adult learners coming here, in my opinion, with a higher level of maturity, dedication, and commitment to getting it done.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time. And